Here's the first question of the first of the three questions I want to answer. Does God have marriage in store for every Christian?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The institution of marriage is in trouble these days. False ideas abound, and marriages are breaking up at an alarming rate, with many, even Christians, choosing unbiblical alternatives. Nevertheless, as Pastor Brian Grant will point out from the Bible, God's Word, marriage is an essential and important part of God's grand design for the betterment and blessing of mankind. Choices are important. So this evening, we will hear Pastor Grant draw from God's Word some things that will help, especially God's people, make wise choices when it comes to choosing a spouse. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Finding the Love of Your Life.
Mark and his family were flying to Florida on a four-propeller plane. And as they were crossing over Georgia, one of the four engines stopped working and the propeller stopped. Well, they had four propellers, so one was stopped. No, they weren't too worried then. But after they kept on traveling and the second and third propeller stopped, whoa, they were really panicking and started to scream. And so all of a sudden, the pilot, he appeared, and he had on his parachute. And the pilot said to them, he had on his parachute. He said, "Don't you worry." He says, "I'm just going down for some help." I have discovered that not everyone who offers to help really can. Have you discovered that? That sometimes your people offer help, but they really cannot help. In fact, sometimes they have no intention to help, like that pilot did. But unfortunately, people sometimes go to the wrong people and the wrong places when they need help with relationships. But I want you to know this morning, as we broach this very difficult subject to speak on, I want you to know that God has given us a relationship handbook, a relationship guidebook that's second to none, and it's called the Holy Bible. And so in our society, in which more than 50% of marriages are ending in divorce, it's time we start focusing on God's holy word for the answers. Amen? And so this morning, everything we're going to be saying is going to be based on what God has to say. We're continuing our series on marriage and the family. And I'd like to answer today three questions for our singles as I speak on the topic, finding the love of your life. So whether you're a teenager, a preteen, a 30, 40, whatever age you are, this message is for you. And for those of us who are married, it's for us as well, because we're going to be able to help somebody. Here's the first question of the first of the three questions I want to answer. Does God have marriage in store for every Christian? Some singles have a hard time constantly going to bridal showers and baby showers for their friends, for they wonder, when will their time come? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're tired of going to all these showers and you've started to wonder, has God forgotten me? And my friends, I feel your pain. And although I'm praying that God will bless many more of the singles in our church with marriage, there are a few important things we need to realize. And so here's the first thing I want us to write down here. God did not design marriage for everyone. As we might like it, it sounds so hard, but God did not design marriage for everyone. Many Christians believe that marriage is God's best, But that's not what the Bible teaches. You see, there's such a heavy focus on marriage because there is a belief among many individuals, and particularly Christians, that marriage is God's best. But although marriage was God's idea, and it was God who said it's not good for man to be alone, he did not design marriage for everyone. So let's turn to our text here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to look at two sections of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In the first section, verse number 5, the Word of God says, "Do not deprive one another except with consent." He's here speaking to married couples, and he's saying to a married couple, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time." He's talking to married couples about sexual union, and he says, "Don't deprive each other except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment." And then he goes on here in verse 7 to say something that's very significant. He says, "For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Despite what you may hear from some pulpits, some tell us that Paul was married, but in this text, Paul clearly tells us that he was not married. And if he did have a wife at some point, she must have been long dead, because it's very clear. He says, "I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them to remain what? Even as I am." Paul was not a married man. He made it very clear. He talks about don't deprive one another, he tells the couples, but then he tells the singles, he wishes that we would remain just as he is. Here's something to make a note of. God gave some Christians, write this down, the gift of singleness. Oh, we may not believe it, but he did. I've heard people arguing that Paul was married, as I said, but that is obviously not true. The idea that some people have that marriage is the only route to happiness and fulfillment is a myth. For the way to find joy and fulfillment in life, stay with me now, is to pursue God's will for our lives. Amen? Are we together this morning? The way to find fulfillment and joy in life is for us to pursue God's will for our lives. Whether that has to do with marriage, or whether it has to do with ministry, or whether it has to do with vocation, what we need to do is to make sure we're pursuing God's will. Are you pursuing God's will for your life, or are you just one of those, you know, some people are angry with God that they're still single. Are you angry with God? Here's the third thing I want to add to your notes. Listen, God did not design marriage for everyone. God gave some Christians the gift of singleness. But listen, choosing celibacy often allows us to serve God with an undivided heart. Do you know I just can't? When I am invited here, there, and elsewhere, I can't just jump up and say, "I'm coming. I better check with you know who." Go ahead. You understand what I'm saying? I better check with my beloved wife to make sure she has no problem if I decide to run down to Jamaica or to this place or to that place. You see, we can't just do what we want to do. Let me refine that. In case I'm speaking to some married person who believes you can do whatever well you are, my own person, I can do what I want to. If you're married, you better get that out of your noggin. If you want to be single and do your own thing, if you want to do your own thing, stay single. Amen. Amen. But the day you get married, one nibble and you were hooked. Amen. By the grace of God. I don't want to make it sound like a bad hooking, okay? Let's be honest. Sometimes it's a bad hookup, but sometimes by the blessing and grace of God as we determine to follow him, sometimes it's a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 27. It's right there in the text, just a little lower down. It says here, Paul says, are you bound to a wife? And please know that every word that we're reading here is the inspired word of God. I heard some preachers sometimes when they come to a passage that they disagree with, they say that was his opinion. And frequently we hear people talking about this is Paul's opinion. Oh, may God help us never ever to say that. Because any day you start saying that parts of the Bible is somebody's opinion, listen, then how do you know which is God's word? It's either the entire Bible is the word of God, or the Bible is not the word of God. We've got to make up our minds. And if this is the word of God, whatever it contains. So even the parts where Paul says, I speak this by permission, he's telling you that the Spirit of God told him, go right ahead and write this because you're right on track with my mind. It's not Paul's opinion. It's all the authoritative word of God. Amen. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27, it says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Oh, I know you said he's getting on my last nerve. Well, sisters come and tell me that sometimes. None of them are married to you guys.
No.
Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loose from a wife? What does it say? So if you're single, do not seek a wife. Oh, I wish I had all the time in the world if we could just talk about this a little. Do not seek a wife. But he goes on, but even if you do marry, you have not sinned. You can see how it's written. It's clearly not saying marriage is God's best. Are you getting that from this text? It's clearly not saying that marriage is God's best. Because even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh. But I would spare you. Paul wrote at a time of persecution. And he said he supposed it was good that Christians remain single. Not everyone can handle the challenges they may face by the ministries God has called us to. Listen, sometimes depending on how God has called you, sometimes you're better off to stay single. In fact, I read somewhere where some say that John Wesley perhaps should have stayed single because he was on the road so much. He traveled so much. He was hardly ever with his wife that she eventually left him. This man of God who is so revered as an outstanding servant of God, who accomplished so much for the work of God, but he was so much gone. And my brothers, if you decide, if the Lord blesses you and you make a decision to marry, make sure you realize this. The day you decide to marry, you do not have the freedom to do what you want to do. Some of us marry, but we still want to be free. Footloose and fancy free. Get up and you're gone with your friends on vacation for 3 weeks. Oh, I wish I could talk to some of the guys who want to do that nonsense. If you want to go doing that, stay. All right, let's get back to the message. When we are single, we can serve God without having to worry about the impact the ministry has on other persons. You see what I'm saying? When I'm single, I can come and go. I can go to one country for a month. I don't have to be worried about a spouse. But the day we are married, things change. And may God help us that now that we are married, we have a sense of what God has called us to. Amen. But I want to bring to us, you before I move on, just the scripture here in Matthew 19, which is hardly, I don't recall this verse ever talked about. So I want to bring it to you this morning in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. And we tend to, I'm not going to talk about the part that we usually do. Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And then his disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. Now here's the part that we usually leave out. But Jesus said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. Are you paying attention? For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. I am not going to dig into this, but because of what we're talking about this morning, I want to make the point. There are individuals who have committed to a life of celibacy for the sake of God's kingdom. Is it in the text?
It is in the text.
There are those who have committed to celibacy for the sake of God's kingdom. So write this down. Marriage is best for those God called to be married. But singleness is best for those God called to be single. You can say amen. Thank you, brother. Because I know I'm right about that one. Amen. So before you get into a relationship, prayerfully consider if you have the gift of singleness. Amen. And if you do, stay single. Otherwise, you will mess up somebody's life. You don't want him in your space. You don't want her in your space. You know, some people don't want anybody in their space. If you don't want people in your space, stay single. You don't want people in your money business. Stay single. My money is my money and his money. Oh, this is not a marriage counseling meeting, so I better not get down that path. But all that sort of nonsense, married people, they're married and you talk about my money and his money. When since your money is your money? Honey, thanks that you've taken over my money. Please give me some every now and then. So the first question, I'm just joking with her. The first question, does God have marriage in store for every Christian? And the answer is no. But God has a perfect plan for each of us. That's the key. The problem is our society makes it seem that the perfect plan has to be marriage. Of course, things are changing now. And marriage is now falling in such disfavor. That's another story. I don't know if we'll get there today. But here's the second thing we want to deal with. What qualities should I look for in a potential mate? All right, you're single? What qualities should you be looking for? Teenagers, you're listening? Young fellas, you're listening? Great, I'm glad you are. All my grandchildren, are they all listening? Robert had been looking for the girl of his dreams for years. So he met with his pastor, and he shared a long list of minimum qualifications he was looking for in a wife. Oh, she must be stunningly beautiful, very stylish, very confident, great musician, excellent cook, and she must also have a meek and quiet spirit. And he was just going on and on. And the pastor finally stopped him and said, Robert, you left a very important item off the list. You forgot to put that she should not have a dream list of her own. Because if she has a dream list, I am sure you would not make it.
Very nice.
Robert was bringing very little to the table, but he had a long list of qualities for his prospective wife. And you know, there are a lot of people like that. They have this long list, as if they really are bringing. Well, let me go leave that alone. But today I'm not going to give you a long list. What qualities should I look for in a potential mate? I'm only going to leave you with two non-negotiables. Because if I was to give you more than two, the sermon may go on a little longer than you want to. Two non-negotiables. So write this down. Non-negotiable one. There must be evidence they are born again. Show me some evidence. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, stop. Talk to me about, I'm born again. If I ever talk to you about how many people bring prospective people that they say are saved, it doesn't even take you 5 minutes to realize the person is not saved. Listen, there must be evidence that they are born again. If you're saved, don't develop a relationship with someone who is not saved. For if a saved person marries an unsaved person, they're definitely going to have trouble with their father-in-law. Did you get it? So if you're marrying this guy, for whom God is not his father, God is your father, he's going to have trouble with God, your father-in-law. Well, that's one way of putting it. And don't tell me they're almost saved. Do you know people come to... You might believe it. People have come and said, Pastor, don't worry. He's not saved yet, but he's almost saved. Have you ever met a lady who's almost pregnant? Am I right about it? She either pregnant or she ain't. Am I right about it? He either saved or he ain't saved. Another word, he either saved or he is lost. Amen. Listen, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if it's not marked in your Bible, it ought to be marked so you don't ever forget this. Young people, teenagers, please hold this good. I see some of you teens, hold on to this good. This is counsel from God's word. Amen. Hold it from your youthful days. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Listen, we must make sure we do not get yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.